Hi, I'm Alex Bellinger, and this is Small Biz Pod on Wednesday, the 12th of March. Well, a special budget 2008 edition of Small Biz Pod for focusing specifically on how today's budget announced by the Chancellor in the House of Commons affects Britain's small businesses over the coming 12 months. So I've got a range of views from experts in the field and small business owners and others to give an insight, a practical insight into what it all means and how it's likely to affect your business, if at all. So not your usual fare of interviews with entrepreneurs to extract pearls of wisdom for you, but the budget is always a big issue for small businesses and startups, and I thought it was an opportunity for Small Biz Pod to mix things up a bit, do a more news-based style show once in a while, and focus on some practical tips and advice and thought and opinion in relation to the 2008 budget in the UK and how it impacts small businesses. But first, let me say a big thank you to Sage, who are sponsors of Small Biz Pod. They are one of the leading suppliers of business management software and services worldwide, a great UK-British success business and entrepreneurial success story, really. 5.4 million customers worldwide, from startups to large organisations, and their aim is really to make it easier for companies to manage their business processes. So whether it's CRM or accounting, or whatever area that you are managing in terms of your business, Sage very often have a solution for you. So they now employ 1,600 people in the UK alone, and they provide software and services to 700,000 small and medium-sized businesses. And it's not just about accounting, as many of you will be familiar with their accounting and payroll packages, but also forecasting and business intelligence, customer relationship management, e-business, help for startups, and even down to advice on HR, health and safety, and various training courses. So a great business, and great to have them sponsoring the podcast.
Mr. Deputy Speaker, for business, my budget provides continuing stability and certainty and introduces new opportunities for entrepreneurs, and also maintains the three critical factors contributing to the strength of the UK's business environment, ensuring that we remain one of the best places in the world to do business.
And that was the Chancellor, Alistair Darling, in his first budget, introducing the section on small business, on business in general. So what were the key factors in today's budget that affect small business startups and entrepreneurs? So the top line stats, facts, figures to come out of the budget announcement in the House of Commons today. For large businesses, the corporation tax will fall this April from 38% to 28%. But as announced in previous budgets for smaller businesses, corporation tax is actually on the rise. So up from 20% this tax year to 21% from April 2008 and 22% from April 2009. The change in the VAT turnover threshold will go from £64,000 to £67,000, in line with inflation. The other issue, of course, that was big in the pre-budget was the capital gains tax issue and how that impacts those wanting to invest in small businesses and small business owners wishing to sell out. The entrepreneurs relief has been introduced, will be introduced, and that is the flat rate of 10% on the first £1 million earned, which is fine for smaller businesses, but not so great if you're a venture capitalist or a business angel or wanting to sell out a fast growth business. And then other than that, income shifting is going to be delayed, a decision on that, more consultation required. Income shifting, you'll remember, was the issue around the reporting and sharing of dividends between family members, usually husband and wife. We'll come on to that. Some interesting things on procurement, and I'll be interviewing very briefly Anne Glover, who will be in charge of the government committee, looking at how to create opportunities for small businesses in terms of the procurement process, aiming for a 30% total of all government contracts going to small businesses. So it would be interesting to talk to her. And that, those really are the headlines, other than $12.5 million for a fund for female entrepreneurs, to encourage female entrepreneurs, and an increase in the small firms loan guarantee scheme by $60 million this year, and an extension of that scheme to a broader range of businesses. In fact, to all businesses, I think, is the case. But that's a brief headline. You can stop listening to this podcast now if after 3 minutes, if you want. But let's see what some experts, some representatives of small businesses, and some small businesses actually think about how the budget was presented today and how it's going to impact them. Okay, so I'm joined by Andrew Jupp, who is head of tax at Tenon, the accountants and business services company. Andrew, thanks for talking to me on what's no doubt a busy day for you today.
Well, budget day normally is very busy, but this is rather a boring one, actually.
Yeah, it's been the pre-budget seemed to be much more entertaining as a spectacle.
Well, I think this Chancellor's got it the wrong way round. The pre-budget was a thoroughly entertaining day.
Yeah,
and virtually everything which has been announced today has already been sort of pre-announced in the pre-budget report back in November.
Absolutely. Well, there we are. But there are still one or two interesting things I think that have arisen that are a direct impact, particularly on the small business community. One of the first, I guess, is the postponement of any decision on what's become known as income shifting.
Yeah, this is the situation which arose from the, I think, now famous tax case called Arctic Systems, which the judgment came out last year.
Mm.
And it concerns typically husband and wife businesses where one of the spouses perhaps doesn't contribute to the business as much as the other, but they were taking their profits out of the business by way of dividend. And the government said they wanted it to be more closely linked to the economic value that each of the parties put into the business.
Mm.
And they consulted widely, and we were expecting legislation to come into effect on 6th of April this year. But they have said, which is good news, that they've been listening to all the representations that have been made and have decided to postpone it for another year so that they can consult more widely. So it's good news that they're listening, but I think it gives people another year of uncertainty, which can't be good.
Yeah, I mean, it was much billed as a kind of dull, stable budget, but that's all very well. In terms of broader economics, in terms of some still outstanding legislative issues, it's not actually that stable. It's quite unsettling for small businesses and entrepreneurs, isn't it?
Well, I think it is. I mean, whereas Gordon Brown always used to use the word prudence, this Chancellor used the word stability about four times in his opening minute.
Mm.
And certainly the theme going throughout the whole of the budget was that we're heading for an economic downturn. And he tried to reassure everybody by saying that Britain was going to be as well prepared as anybody for it. But it's very clear that he has got a hole in his finances. He hasn't got tax to give away, and his borrowing requirement is much higher this year than he said it was going to be. So I don't think it's panic time, but it's certainly, you know, the message is not one of super confidence by any means.
But we're still in a phase of growth, albeit slower growth, rather than...
Yes, he said that growth, he's downgraded his growth forecast, which was something like 2.75 to 3%. He's downgraded that to 1.75% this year. So yes, it's still positive growth. I think it's a blip rather than a big downturn. But clearly, you know, he made a lot of points of saying that even though it was a blip this year, he's predicting that growth will be back on track next year. Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we?
Indeed, yeah. Now, obviously the CGT issue was the really big story for entrepreneurs in relation to the pre-budget.
Yeah.
And then we've known about entrepreneurs' relief for some time, which is that, in essence, to put it very bluntly, 10% flat rate, but with the first £1 million... Well, no, the first £1 million at a 10%, isn't it? That's right.
Yeah, that is a lifetime limit. So
limit.
Up to £1 million of gains throughout an individual's lifetime at 10%. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really only of benefit to the very smaller businesses, not such a benefit to the growing businesses and the businesses who are perhaps invested in by the venture capital community.
Well, absolutely. And this is the point that, you know, I and many commentators have been making for a long time now. It's going to be fine for a small business that, you know, somebody perhaps retires from, and to have the first £1 million of gain at 10%, that's great. But, you know, you haven't got to be a very big or successful business to have a gain of well in excess of £1 million nowadays. And as you quite rightly say, there's no incentive now for people who want to reinvest some of their proceeds in maybe other people's businesses, a bit like a venture capitalist. There's no tax incentive there to do that now.
No, absolutely. And it doesn't particularly augur well for an increase in the number of larger businesses, the move from the S of the SME, if you like, to the M of the SME, the move from small to medium-sized enterprises and beyond. There's been a lot of discussion lately about whether or not there are enough businesses that start off small and growing and building into big businesses in the UK as compared to the States. And if you look at a sector like technology or you know, the Silicon Valley examples that are, yeah, are cited relatively frequently, do you think the government is doing enough to stimulate small growth from small to medium to large business?
No, I don't think they are. I mean, what seems crazy to me is that if somebody invests in a portfolio of shares on the stock market, that gain will be taxable at the same rate, 18%, as if they invested in either their own business or somebody else's small and growing business. So what's the incentive now to take a risk by putting all your money into one, you know, one private business?
Yeah.
You may as well diversify your risk and put it in a portfolio of stocks and shares and be taxed at the same rate. And that just seems crazy to me, that there's no distinction now, other than the entrepreneur's relief, between business assets and just general speculative gains.
Which kind of has a knock-on effect in terms of funding for entrepreneurs and for small and for startups. There are some quite interesting developments in terms of funding, isn't there, in this budget?
Yes, there are a couple of things. First of all, the Enterprise Investment Scheme, that's the scheme by which people can get income tax relief on an investment in a qualifying business. The limit currently on that is £400,000, and that's going up to £500,000. And the other thing that is changing is enterprise management incentive options. That's where a company grants options to its employees to encourage them, as part of their remuneration and long-term investment in the business.
Yeah.
The rate of that, or the limit for that, has gone up from £100,000 to £120,000. And I guess there's one other small thing. The rate of relief for research and development expenditure, the so-called R&D tax credit,
yeah,
that rate for small and medium-sized enterprises is going up from 150% to 175%. So there are a few small things, but, you know, nothing like as much as the damage that the capital gains tax changes have done.
No, so credit crunch is a real issue.
Credit crunch is a real issue, and the bizarre thing is that the whole purpose of the capital gains tax changes came a long time before the credit crunch, and it was done for no other reason than to try and clamp down on the so-called, you know, fat cat private equity bosses in the city. And it just seems a very, very blunt instrument to solve one very specific problem.
One other quick thing that I thought that I heard mentioned, although I have yet to find details, was there an increase or at least an extension of those of small businesses eligible for the small firms loan guarantee scheme?
Yes, what he said was that the amount of money in the small firms guarantee scheme, I'm just looking through my notes at the moment, was going up, but I didn't seem to have noted down, I'm afraid, what it was. Basically, the qualifying conditions were going to be relaxed slightly,
yeah,
and the amount of money that could be guaranteed had been increased.
So potentially that could, for at the smaller end of the scale, be of benefit in terms of filling some of the funding gaps or the credit crunch that smaller businesses may face over the next 18 months.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Andrew Jupp, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, so the Federation of Small Businesses is one of the biggest groups representing small businesses in the UK, if not the biggest. I'm pleased to have on the line now one of their spokespeople, Andrew Cave. Andrew, welcome to Small Biz Pod.
Hello.
Now, first impressions of the budget. What was your first impression?
My first impression is that there are no nasty surprises, which we're very pleased about. In previous years, there have been some nasty surprises, but this year it's fairly straightforward, and we welcome the speech with a few alarm bells along the way.
And those would be?
We're slightly concerned with issues surrounding the non-domestic buildings zero carbon target for 2019. We hope that this is going to be handled carefully because it could restrict small businesses' access to premises. That's the first one. We're also, you know, deferral of plans to change income shifting rules, yeah. Which has forced tens of thousands of families and businesses to create and maintain a massive amount of extra paperwork. That's been deferred, but we're still pushing for this plan to be abandoned permanently.
Yeah. Likewise, fuel duty, which I know many small business groups were hoping would not go up, hasn't gone up, but again, only sort of a temporary stay of execution whilst oil prices are as high as they are.
That's right. I mean, we welcome the freeze on fuel duty until October, but it's an issue that's unlikely to go away. The cost of fuel duty is damaging for small businesses, and it's also the cost that's passed on to their customers in every industry across the country.
Now, another element, of course, was that there's yet another pledge to reduce the burden of red tape. They're always promising. Every government promises a reduction in red tape, and it just never happens, does it?
This is true. I mean, we've seen regulation rise rather than increase at the same time as they claim to be cutting it. Plans to reform regulation this time and improve access to finance for expanding small firms are welcome, but we need to see action. And now is the time to turn these fine words into action.
And I mean, there was a time when people wanted sunset clauses. No sign of anything like that. I mean, so that legislation had an expiry date, as it were.
Well, in some ways, it's the reverse to that. The what is being introduced will, first of all, check to see if a new regulation should be applied to the small business sector, and that we welcome. Obviously, we still call for sunset clauses, but we welcome this measure at the other end of the pipeline, so to speak. The other thing that I'd say in the positive towards the budget statement today is the 30% a quota for public sector procurement that's
yeah.
going to be ring-fenced for small businesses.
Yeah.
This is something that the FSB has campaigned on and called for a long time, so we regard this as quite a victory today.
Now, you say a quota. It really is guaranteed, is it? Or is it only assumed? I mean, it assumes small businesses win the business.
Our understanding at the moment is that 30% of public sector procurement will be ring-fenced for small and medium-sized businesses. That is something that we've called for. In the United States, they ring-fence 25%.
Right.
To get a figure like 30% is quite a coup.
Well, as ever, as the budget details come out, certain things are a little more opaque than others. And as it turns out, the government and the Chancellor were a little bit more circumspect about any commitment to ring fencing a proportion of public procurement for the small and medium sized enterprise sector, and have, in fact, appointed a chair of a committee who I was lucky enough to talk to about this subject earlier this evening. Okay, so Anne Glover's name appeared in today's budget, and she is chief executive of Amadeus Capital Partners, a venture capital company. And Anne's role will be to head up an advisory committee which will look specifically at whether or not small businesses can have greater access to government contracts, to public sector contracts, i.e. improving public procurement in relation to SMEs, with a potential target of 30%, I think was the figure announced within the next 5 years. So 30% of all public sector contracts to be won fairly and squarely by SMEs. And how is it possible to even begin to think about setting a target limit like that without encountering various competition issues?
I don't think it's a limit. I think the goal is to increase the access of SMEs to a competitive process. I'm a firm believer in the competitiveness of SMEs, so I don't think that there's any reason that that number couldn't be reached or even higher if small businesses have appropriate access to the government procurement processes.
Why don't they have appropriate access now?
That's the question that we'll be investigating. Sorry.
Absolutely, yeah. Is your sense though that it may be the issue may be as much with the understanding of SMEs as the understanding of public sector procurement specialists?
These are almost certainly true. I mean, this is nearly always the case that in making markets work more effectively, all sides have to have more knowledge.
Yeah.
And so that's almost certainly true.
And has your committee been set a timescale? When can we expect any kind of initial thoughts and or consultation?
Well, the consultation will, the committee's only just being constituted. So
yes.
The request is for there to be advice given in time for the pre-budget reporting, which is generally around October.
Yeah.
The intention is for this to be short, sharp, practical, and informative, and that's really the basis on which I accepted the appointment.
Yeah. So we should get some indications and relatively swiftly. The government has through the Office of Government Commerce, the OGC, and previously the Small Business Service, attempted to address the issue of procurement. Is what your committee is looking at, is that in addition to those existing and previous efforts to improve.
I think it's building on them.
There's been
papers written before, and I think the understanding has grown of how important a role this can play in making markets work, and making markets work in a number of dimensions. So in addition to just the broad application of procurement to stimulate access for small businesses, it's also particularly I'm interested in innovative small businesses that have the potential for high growth.
Yeah.
So I think it's a growing recognition that this is an important aspect of making a healthy economy work.
And now, just one final question. Obviously, in terms as a venture capital business, you're looking to invest in businesses that are going to grow rapidly, as you've mentioned, and that are going to give you the kind of the exit and the value at the other end. Do the CGT rules that are introduced in this budget worry you at all?
Well, what's disappointing is that the incentive for holding equity for a long period of time, which is intrinsic in entrepreneurial activity, has disappeared. But on the other hand, the changes have and do bring simplicity, which is something else that we've asked for a long time. So it is disappointing that it's been pushed through rapidly and therefore led to sort of some dislocation in the market and without consultation. And that I find unfortunate. But on the other hand, I think that the CGT is simple and it is on a global scale competitive. So
yeah.
I think it's the sort of short-term dislocation that's the real problem.
I then spoke to Phil McCabe of the Forum of Private Businesses that represents over 20,000 small firms in the UK, and suggested to him that actually this budget was pretty good for small businesses all in all.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I think this budget is more about what has not been included rather than what was announced today. I think we're concerned that we were hopeful that there'd be measures introduced to alleviate the tax burden that's been placed onto small businesses, particularly over the last year. However, that was almost entirely absent What we've seen is some nods in the direction of small businesses, some slight incentives, but compared to the general tax burden, talking about things such as capital gains tax changes, increasing corporation tax that small businesses pay, etc. Next to those, these are really, really small amounts, really drops in the ocean.
So this is a kind of, as far as a small business audience is concerned, it's kind of papering over cracks.
Yes, papering over cracks is one way of putting it, certainly. It's a missed opportunity for the Chancellor to really help out small businesses who do feel that they've come under sustained attack, whether that's additional taxes or the removal of long-standing established tax incentives, such as income shifting. Mm. It's almost as if the government is clawing as much as it possibly can from them. And of course, in terms of corporation tax, the higher rate paid by big businesses is actually being cut. Mm. So it seems to be a disparity.
What do you put that down to when the government has for years and years and years espoused an entrepreneurial Britain, the benefits of entrepreneurial Britain?
Well, good question. I think often smaller firms are seen perhaps as easy targets. I don't want to paint a picture of kind of the government stalking small firms, but perhaps it's more a case of their concerns and their issues are overlooked. We've campaigned about the lack of authority that the Small Business Forum has in Westminster compared to the Business Council for Britain, for example. And there are positive signs. It's not all doom and gloom. On that issue, the government recently announced that there would be a small business working group put in place in the Business Council for Britain. That's certainly a move to be welcomed if it has real teeth. Mm. And again, there are positive announcements. In this budget, we've seen moves announced to tackle red tape, which is a perennial concern of ours. We just think that is really offset by the kind of monstrous tax burden that our members face. And that hasn't been addressed in this budget. It's disappointment because of that.
But you say monstrous tax burden, not compared to very many other nations around Europe and the rest of the world. We have a highly competitive tax system for small businesses, and it's relatively easy to start a business in the UK, isn't it?
Well, the Chancellor made that point in the budget, but I think he was referring to corporation tax. However, there does seem to be a disparity with corporation tax alone, if we just take that as an example. If the higher rate is being cut and yet the lower rate, which small business pay, is going up, that doesn't seem to be fair, and we've yet to have an adequate explanation as to why that's taking place. But of course, it's the cumulative tax burden that's the problem. It's capital gains tax on top of corporation tax, on top of the removal of income shifting, changes to capital allowances, which really burdened a lot of smaller businesses. Supported a lot of smaller businesses. These changes taken together are having a real impact on small firms and leaving many of them struggling to compete and, in many cases, struggling to survive.
And this before a recession hits?
Well, yes, this is the point. I mean, we're in a quite a shaky economic climate as it is, and it looks set to get worse. This is the time where small businesses need to be supported so that they can grow and stimulate the economy. And of course, this don't forget, 58% of the private sector working population are in the UK are employed by small firms. We'd like to see measures to see that figure increase, but this affects families, this affects people at home who work for small firms. And we're not seeing any kind of stimulus in this budget to help small businesses grow and therefore the economy grow.
But many small firms don't feel quite as negative as that. And indeed, although slowdown looks like a reality, many do not feel that recession is imminent. Or they feel that they need to take action, take precautions, but they are not tremendously worried that there will be a long recession. Rightly or wrongly, we'll see how that pans out. But I leave the last word to a real business owner facing the budget today. Okay, so enough of the experts. Let's talk to a real small business. I'm pleased to say I've got Emily now, whose second name I didn't think of asking. Emily, what's your second name?
It's Hill.
Emily Hill. There we are. Emily Hill from writemysite.co.uk. She runs a copywriting agency in Acton in West London. And I've seen her around on some of the small business forums, UK business forums, which is one of the best for small business on the web. So, Emily, thanks very much for agreeing to be on Small Biz Pod today. What did you think? Budget was pretty dull, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was nothing hugely revolutionary in there or particularly exciting. But that's hopefully a good thing. It means they're probably not going to mess around with small business too much and they can just let us get on with doing what we need to do. I mean, I noticed that they're sort of planning to increase the amount of money available through the small firms' loan guarantee scheme, which I think, I mean, I've never tried to sort of apply through it myself, but the feedback that I've had from other people who have is that it is quite sort of flawed and limited, so maybe this will be a good thing if there's actually a bit more cash available.
But there's
nothing that sort of alarms me greatly, I don't think.
In sort of broader economic terms, obviously the Chancellor was talking about how well placed the UK is to withstand the sort of potential global economic turmoil that many are predicting. How nervous or not are you guys feeling as small businesses in West London about the economy?
I'm not too nervous about it. I mean, I always try and take a positive approach, and I think you've got to if you're running a small business. So, you know, to put it brutally, if my competitors can't cope, that's more clients for me to mop up later on.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to press on and try and do what I do better and smarter and keep growing.
I think that's wise advice for all listeners. Okay, Emily, thanks very much for your time this afternoon. Okay, so I hope that you found some of those, just the practical details of the budget this year, useful in this format. I hope you found some of the views and analysis interesting and of use. As I say, not the usual Small Biz Pod fare, not something we're going to do all the time, but occasionally there are these kind of big chunks of news related to small business, and I think it's kind of cool if we can cover them once in a while. So all that remains for me to do is to say thank you to all the guests on today's show and to introduce today's electronica track, which is from the very well-known now band called Burial. Wonder whether there was anything buried in the small print of the budget today. We'll find out, no doubt, tomorrow. Terrible segue. Anyway, Burial, and the track is called Ghost Hardware.
Inside me. that record this week. It's nice to still put together.